Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitcher's mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitcher's pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today on the program, I'm joined by the newest member of the family. Please welcome my son-in-law, A's shortstop, Nick Allen. Nick, I told you I'd get you on. You're on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on. Thank you for having me.
Tell everybody out there how tough it is having me as your father-in-law.
Oh, extremely tough. No, not tough at all. I think one of the things I think when I met Savannah was, I knew that I couldn't bring baseball around her. I heard the last name and I was like, oh my God, I put two and two together. I was like, I played against Jake baseball wise and obviously knew that, you were his dad. Now you're obviously you've been her dad as well. But I was like, yeah. Anything I say about baseball, she won't be impressed. So I just never brought that up. So
yeah, I want to talk about
the
it.
Family,
now, give
the
me,
Boone family.
Give me the story. How it came to be? How did you meet Savannah? Because Savannah, well, and I'll get into it a little bit later. That first time we had dinner, we had pizza with me, with you, Savannah, me, and my dad. But Savannah didn't say anything. She didn't say who she was bringing. I'll get into that in a minute. How did you and Savannah meet?
I met through a buddy of mine, Johnny Viscaino. He was having a little get together at his house and, he was friends with Timony Moyer and obviously Timony and Savannah are, best friends. So that's just kind of how it all met. We worked out. We met at Johnny's house and just went on a couple dates after that. And then, yeah, I was brought to the family dinner. I'd say pretty early on. I think we were supposed to have another date. And she was like, I forgot about our family dinner going on. Would you like to come? And I was like, of course. Yeah, I'll be there. So that's from my point of view right there.
Well, here's how that family dinner went. So it wasn't a big, it was Savannah was going to have dinner with her grandpa and her dad. And we went to pizza. I forget the name of the place, but we went to this pizza joint. Savannah calls me late. She says, Dad, I'm going on a date tonight. And I was like, whoa. I said, all right. She goes, can I bring him? And I'm thinking, well, Savannah, if she's going to bring a date along, she must like this guy. I said, of course you can. Didn't say it was Nick Allen. Me and Dad get to the pizza place. Savannah and Nick pull in. I'm looking at Nick. And there's a backstory to Nick and my story. When I retired, Jake Boone and Nick Allen played against each other as little kids. you know, from what, 10, 11, 12 years old. I remember Nick Allen, man. Because I remember, and I always tell you that, I said, that little 12-year-old kid out there looks like he could fit in right in big league infield right now. And Nick was, you know, he was very advanced. Everybody knew who Nick was. But we played against Nick when I was coaching Jake's team. So he pulls into the pizza joint, and I said, I looked at you, and I said, I know that kid. I don't know where, but I know him. So we're talking. We go through the entire dinner, and I pull Savannah aside after dinner. I said, who is that? She goes, that's Nick Allen. I said, Nick Allen? I knew who it was. Now, I hadn't seen you in a few years. Yeah. You know, I hadn't seen you since you'd grown up. Yeah. But it was interesting to me that I said, why didn't you tell me? She's like, well, I thought I did tell you. You know how Savannah is. I said, you didn't tell me it was Nick Allen. If you'd have said it's Nick Allen, I would have known right away. I would say Nick Allen, the guy with the crazy dad that would come out when we played against him. No, I'm kidding. That Tom is Nick's dad. He's a great guy and very cool to have in the family as well. But he was a very what would you call your dad as a coach, as a kid? I'd say he was very intense, very intense.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he was always there and always, you know, wanted to help me out in any way. Always, I would say he just pushed me in the right direction a lot. And it was amazing. Yeah.
When did you put it together that, that's Jake Boone's sister, Savannah?
We were just talking, and obviously I just met her. So we were, you know, hi, I'm Nick, and you know, hi, I'm Savannah. So no, obviously no last names were thrown around. And then she was just talking about how Jake, her brother, is at Princeton, probably about to get drafted. And then I think the last name Boone was thrown around, and then it still never clicked. And then I was like, oh wait, Jake Boone. I never knew he had a sister, obviously. And we were never necessarily close enough friends, because we never played on the same team. We never really, obviously, we were from two different parts of San Diego, so we just never hung out. So I never knew he had a sister. And then that's just kind of how it all went, you know, because I was like, well, now I'm meeting, you know, part of the Boone family. But I think obviously Savannah and I just hit it off. So it was awesome. Now, obviously, Boone family is part of baseball, just, you know, got the generations with it. So, you know, coming to you and talking about baseball was pretty easy. So I guess that's how it was pretty easy meeting what's now my father-in-law. So even though we've kind of met before.
Well, you know, it's cool, and you're such a good kid, and I knew that all along, and I never had any worries about you. Once I got to know you, I saw how much you cared about my daughter, which is the most important thing to me, and how much she just thought Nick Allen was the greatest. I said, what can you, as a father, you can't wish for anything more than that. You don't worry about who your kids choose, that they're a good person and that person loves them to death. And that's all I care about. I saw that from the beginning. But when you and I knew you guys were getting close, you know, I'm thinking, well, these guys are serious. You already acted like a married couple. I said, these guys are going to get married one day. So I know it's getting close. So I remember the call when you called me and you asked me if I had a problem with you marrying Savannah, and I probably said something like, yeah, how dare you, Nick? But no, I was very, very much supportive. I was very much in approval of Nick Allen and Nick Allen's family, and I was excited about that. But what put it over the top, and it was cool because not too many guys do this, is you not only went to me, you went to Savannah's mom. And then who you could tell the Boone podcast who you went to as well. The matriarch of the family. I thought that was really cool. I teased you about it, but I thought it was, that's a classy move. Not too many people do that.
Yeah. I went to Grammy Sue Boone. You know, Savannah and her are very, very close. We travel up, you know, drive up to their house a lot with Bob and Grammy, and just play board games and whatnot. Just on any random, you know, night. So, I definitely had to ask her. I mean, I had to go throughout the whole family, whoever, you know, was important to Savannah. I thought that was, it's important to me as well, you know.
But, you know, that's not normal. And I'm not, it's, but it's cool. It's a cool, not normal. Yeah. Not too many people go above and beyond. And I think that says something about the family you grew up in, your parents, and how they taught you to be a man. And I was very impressed with that. Very impressed with that. But all these people that you went to, yes, Savannah's mom, like you said, Grammy, Bob, me. Anybody give you any advice? Because Savannah, she could be a handful.
Yeah, not too much advice, but I think we all know that Savannah's very strong-willed, and I think that's what I love about her, is that, you know, she definitely don't need me to you know, make decisions for her. So she is very much definitely very strong-willed, and it's definitely amazing to see day in and day out, because she can take care of business. I mean, she starts her own companies. She can, you know, very successful in the business, whatever she thinks of doing, she's very successful in, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, she's Savannah. That's my firstborn, and she's always been like that. And love her to death. That's my little girl, but she's in good hands now. We know you married into a baseball family. You never got a chance to meet my grandma, which was Patsy, and she was the original. She was unbelievable. And then as my dad came along, and mom lived that big league life for 20 years. And then she got to watch myself, and she got to watch Aaron and Matthew, all of us come up through the pro ranks. She got to watch our careers. Now she's been keeping track with Nick Allen. Now she gets to watch Nick Allen when the A's are on TV. She gets to watch her grandson, Jake. So grandma, pretty experienced lady, pretty wise when it comes to this. And then Savannah's mom, you know, watched my career. So these are very well-versed women. So Savannah had about the ultimate class in how to be a baseball player's wife. So how is Savannah as a wife going throughout your journey in professional baseball?
I mean, it's everything you can ask for. Obviously she's been through it. You know, as a daughter, you know, watching you play, and she kind of just knows the lifestyle. So, you know, when I'm gone on a road trip or whatnot, you know, she knows how to handle it. Or when she comes to the ball field, and then you have a good night, you have a bad night, she knows how to handle it. And I don't like taking, you know, what I did that night home, because I don't think that's obviously fair. And it's hard as a baseball player, because, you know, it's in a sense, it's your job, you know, it's something that you love doing. But I'm trying to provide for my family now. And, you know, sometimes it could be hard, but I think a lot of what I've learned is that you don't want to take it home. So that's what I'm trying to do, but she's there, you know, she's knows what to say. She says the right words. You know, she's like, get your head out of your ass some of the time. And it's amazing. And, but most of the time, she's just there for me. And I think she's been through it. She knows the life. And I think that's why she's amazing.
Yeah, she does know it. And sometimes she's pretty raw, because players, we all come off as these confident, macho men. But deep down, man, we struggle just like everybody else. And I'm sure Savannah, through the years, when she was young, me coming home after games and maybe things weren't going great, she'd hear me gripe and maybe hear what her mom told me, like, get it together. You know, you've been here 100 times. You're going to, am I ever going to come out of this slump? And well, you've been here 100 times. You're probably going to come out of it. I'm not sure. Yeah. Last few years, you get a chance to play against another member of the family, Uncle Aaron, who manages the Yankees. Yeah. Take me through a series in New York. And your interaction with Aaron, is it really like player on the other team, manager, or is it a little bit different than that? Is it a little closer?
It's somewhat in between. You know, I think I understand he's doing his job. I'm doing mine. So we see each other before the games and we'll say hi. We have a quick conversation. But then after that, it's, you know, you go up to the box and you maybe give a fist bump, you know, at him, like say hello to the dugout. But other than that, it's game on. I think that's how it should be. And then off the field, obviously, now we can, you know, be family. But but he's doing his thing, I'm doing mine, and you know, I think that's just the way it's got to go. And but we keep it very, you know, just obviously have our conversations and then move on.
Yeah, I used to love it. My dad managed against me my AAA year. He was in Tacoma. Mm-hmm. So when we come to town, I was in Calgary. Dad managed against me. I loved beating his ass. Let me tell you that. And I did it all the time. Then he was the manager of the Reds, and I loved mm-hmm. it too. And then Kansas City Royals. So, yeah, there is a time for that. Like, I remember coming to the ballpark and being like, what's up, Dad? And then kind of like, you know, I'm going to kick your ass tonight. And more times than not, I got his goat. So yeah, it was pretty good. But it's nice, though, that you got a family member there. But when that bell rings, it's
go time.
It's win at all costs.
Yeah.
So you go from, you know, playing against the Yankees, trying to win. Now you go to Christmas with Skipper of the Yankees.
It's 100%. I think it's awesome. I mean, it's always easy getting up playing against the Yankees for sure. So it doesn't matter if, you know, I'm playing against, you know, obviously Aaron Boone, obviously he's the manager, but, you know, you're playing against the Yankees. So you're always going to be, in go mode for sure. No matter whether it's obviously Aaron coaching or who else is, you know, coaching, but yeah, it's going to be cool. Obviously seeing him on the other side of things, you know, getting to hang out with him, at Christmas this year.
I just recently had Omar Vizquel on, one of the great shortstops, defenders of all time. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about when we were both young kids, because Omar, when he was young, everybody knew his glove. Started off, and I remember him coming down to AAA. I think he was on a rehab assignment, and he was becoming a switch hitter, and it wasn't easy for him, and he didn't know if he'd ever be able to hit, and he hadn't hit much in the big leagues. And then I told him, I said, and then Omar, you look up 20 years later, 22 years later, and you had 2,877 hits. But we were talking about the shuttle, and you know what the shuttle is.
Yeah.
And I know what the shuttle is. You've got plenty of experience on it, as do I. And for those out there watching Major League Baseball and just think, you know, these guys just appear and from day one, they just come to the big leagues and they stick and they have these great careers. For most of us, it's a process. Myself included, you know, I got called to the big leagues in 1992 and they were making a big deal of it. It's first, third generation, whatever. And I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to get to the big leagues. Next thing you know, the beginning of the season in 93, they sent me to the minor leagues, and that wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to be the second baseman. All of a sudden, Lou Piniella said, no, I'm going to send you down for a little bit. Then I would get called up. Then I would get sent down. Then I would get called up, and it happened to me three times in 1993 mm-hmm. before I finally stuck and was able to go on and kind of never look back. But I didn't expect it to be that way. I thought I'm going to get to the big leagues just like Ken Griffey Jr. did, and I'm never going to come back. Matter of fact, this is where we differ so much. Our personalities are so different. And mm-hmm. I always try to tell you be Nick. You know, I try to give you advice, but that doesn't mean you do what Brett did. You do what Nick does.
Yeah.
But I remember, Nick, the first time I got called up, and guys were asking me to sign stuff, bats. And I remember walking out of the locker room and the guys were asking, hey, see you, Booney. I said, I'll never be back in the minor leagues again. I said that my first time getting called up. Well, I was back there three times and went through all the things that we go through. But tell me how tough that is. When you've done everything you can do in the minor leagues, you get called up. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't play well. Sometimes you play well. Just tell me that what it's like for the guys out there that haven't gone through it, because it's not all roses and it's tough. You've been through it quite a bit in the last couple years. How do you keep focused mentally and not let that affect you too much? What have you learned?
I think the biggest thing is having a process and knowing that the process just doesn't change whether you're in, you know, the minor leagues or the big leagues. I think this past year was the best I've ever done it. I don't want to be in the minor leagues. I want to be a big leaguer, and I am, you know, a big leaguer. But you know, the cards were dealt this year with, you know, what went on, and I thought, you know, nothing changes. that when you show up to the ballpark, you do the same stuff, you know, as when you get to the big leagues, you show up, you do the same stuff. Nothing changes. And I think I gave myself a really good blueprint for success moving forward. But I think that's some advice that I can give is that whether you're in AAA or the big leagues, you still show up, you know, you get on a bus, you get to the ballpark, and the routine is just the same. So I think that's the best advice that I can give to anyone is that it's baseball. You have your planned out stuff that you're going to do, and you just dominate that, and then you play the game, and then repeat. And like I said, doesn't matter if you're in AAA or the big leagues, it's the same stuff.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, because I remember when I was going through mine, and I'd call my dad, and I would kind of be bitching and moaning to him, like, this is all BS, and they can't do this, and then, you know, my dad would just wait till I was done ranting, and he'd go, are you finished? And I'd say, yeah, I'm finished, and then he would drop the line that he always dropped on me. Well, what are you going to do about it, Brett? Life ain't fair. What are you going to do about it? If you bitch enough, is Lou going to call you back up tomorrow? No. He said, you go down to AAA and you kill it and you force them to bring you back up. And me and you talk, I try to leave you alone as much as I can. Whether you're in the big leagues or you're in AAA, I just, you know, Nick's a big boy. I don't want to just be on top of you because I know you've got family. You've got a dad he'll call me sometimes, you know, and he has questions. I try to answer them as good as I can. I try to give you the best advice I can. The same advice I would give Jakey.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get off the phone with you and I'm like, I hope I didn't say too much or I hope I didn't say too little. So it's tough, but I just try to live my experiences, and your experience is a little different than mine. My experience is different than my dad's. My experience is different than Jake's. But we all have the common thing. And we all have a goal, and that's where we want to be in the big league, succeeding and making a career out of it. So I hope my advice sometimes hits with you. I try to leave you alone as much as I can.
No, it 100% does. Yeah. I mean, no, I'm very thankful for it. So, I mean, you say all the right stuff, as long as, you know, same thing with my dad. It's just, anything is good, obviously. But in the end, I mean, we all know what the right answers are. Hey, just go out and find a way to perform, and just, you know, dominate the little things, the processes, and control the controllables. So,
all right, we have something in common, and you've actually got a one up on me, and I know you've talked about this a lot, but it's interesting to me. We both played on Team USA. Now, yeah. Mine wasn't an Olympic year, so we didn't have the prestige. I got to go to Havana, Cuba. That was really mm-hmm. interesting, and Fidel Castro and all that stuff. So it was an interesting experience. But you got to go to China, and you got to win a silver medal. Talk me through that process and how cool that was. Because I think when it wasn't an Olympic year, it was the Pan Am Games or something, there's just not that as much prestige put mm-hmm. put on it. It's still, you're still playing for Team USA, you still got it on your jersey, but if it's not an Olympic year, you know, for instance, the college players back in my day, that's who would play. Yeah. And if it was an Olympic year, the juniors would, the top draft picks coming out of their junior year in college, none of them would sign. If it was an Olympic year, they'd all go to the Olympics. If it was a non-Olympic year, all those juniors would say, oh, it's not an Olympic year, I'll sign and go off to my affiliates and go to A-ball or wherever they go. So I was one of those years. So most of our team, our whole Team USA, was freshmen and sophomores in college. And we thought we yeah. were hot stuff until we got to Cuba. And then Cuba mm-hmm. just beat us like a drum. I think all three games, it wasn't even close. It was like men playing with boys. But it was a great experience, and it was cool, and it was an honor to wear Team USA. You got to do it. You got to win a silver medal. You got to be on the podium. How was that, and how was that experience for you?
It was amazing. I mean, I've done USA stuff, you know, a couple times. I made the 15U USA team. We went to Colombia, and then I made the 18U USA team. We went to Mexico. But nothing is quite like the Olympics. I haven't done the WBC. Hopefully, you know, the next one comes around, I can get a shot at it. But yeah, the Olympics is crazy. I mean, it's just like, we didn't have any fans in Japan. But I mean, you could definitely feel like the energy while you're playing. You're playing for your country, and now you're on TV playing for your country, and you're in an Olympic village surrounded by other countries that are, you know, they're all trying to win a gold for their country. You know, they don't care about, you know, the United States. I think they think it's cool seeing us or whatnot, but they don't care. They want to, you know, make sure you don't get a medal and they get a medal. And so I think it's definitely competitive. And that's what is amazing, because I mean, some of these, like South Korea, you don't get a medal. You might have to do, you know, working, you know, the military for a couple of years. So they're getting after it. They want to beat us. And I think when we lost the gold medal game against Japan, you know, me thinking like, who knows if I ever get another opportunity at this, you know, and I'm seeing them get a gold medal, and it's just like, it's kind of killing you, even though winning a silver medal is amazing. But the competitor side, it's just a lot of competitors there. And it was definitely something that was different from going down and, you know, playing in Mexico or Colombia, because you just felt like you're kind of just playing a tournament. But this is not just a tournament. This is the Olympics. It's what you grew up watching every 4 years. So,
well, I think the difference, too, is when you're playing on those USA teams or for me, playing in an off Olympic year. We're not hanging out in the village. We're not hanging out with the other athletes. It's just yeah. baseball players, and that's it. You mm-hmm. go to city, and it's just the baseball team. It's not the, you know, the other yeah. athletes in the in
you see
the
like field hockey Olympics. Or like the basketball team or something like
right.
that. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Very cool. I want to talk to you this year about the last day in the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a very sentimental guy. By the way, I loved playing in the Coliseum. Everybody always talks about the Coliseum, how well, and I guess it's accurate. Today, with the state-of-the-art stadiums that you guys are playing in, Coliseum's kind of a dump when it comes to modern-day baseball facilities. That being said, we love going places, and you can vouch for this as a player. If you hit good somewhere, you don't care what it's like. You don't care what the accommodations are like. You just want to get hits. I used to love coming to Coliseum because I loved hitting there. I just – there was something yeah. about it. anyway, for me, you get into the final day and you hear, you know, for the last 2 weeks of your season this year, everybody's talking, well, the last day in the Coliseum is, you know, whatever the date was. I thought, no big deal. But I found myself that last game you guys played in the Coliseum, I found myself in front of the TV watching it. And I just thought, well, I tuned in to watch you first, but then I'm going, this is the last game to this historic franchise that started, you know, way back when. And I started thinking about Raleigh Fingers and Reggie Jackson in the early 70s, Vita Blue, and then the Canseco years, Canseco, McGuire, Ricky Henderson, and the run they went on. Then the guys I played against in the early 2000s, you know, the Hudson, Mulder, Zito, Chavez, Giambi years. It's a storied franchise. And I thought, this is kind of sad. It was a little bit sad for me. Now, mind you, I didn't break out in tears. Mm-hmm. But I found myself sitting on the couch watching that last out. Your closer got the last out. And I remember just sitting there watching it, thinking, wow, this is kind of sad. It's the end to not only a franchise, the Oakland A's, but a historic venue that have seen a lot, seen a lot of stuff. And I sat there and I watched, and I watched the ceremony, and Kotz got out there and he said a few words on the mic. What was that like? And all these things I'm talking about, you didn't live through my generation. You know, you've lived through your current generation, but yeah. What was it like for the players, and what were you feeling from not only the people of Oakland, but the fans at the game that day?
Yeah, I think one of the things that really stuck out to me was obviously seeing the stadium just really packed, you know, and just the amount of fans that came out to support. You know, I think over the 3 years, you know, there was not too many games where it was sold out. So it was really cool to see the stadium rocking loud, chanting, you know, let's go Oakland. And I think a lot of what I took from it was just the passion that obviously they had, the workers had. I think we got to meet, you know, some of the workers that were there 25 plus years, and it was sad, I think, for them, or it was sad for me seeing that, the how much they have right. put in, and then now it's, you know, kind of all gone now. But yeah, it was just an emotional day. A lot of media. It was just kind of, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. And I'm glad that I got to at least be there and see that for the final game in the history there. Because again, like, it's just such a passionate franchise, and with fan, like, they're passionate fans. You know, there's a lot of loyal ones out there, and you know, I'm so thankful for them, you know, obviously supporting us when we haven't been so great in supporting us, you know. I think this year when, you know, we had a better year.
Yeah, and I saw a guy with a sign that says, I was here for the first game and I'm here for the last. It was like 1969 yeah. and the present. And yeah, for you guys, and you got a lot of young players on that Oakland team that haven't lived through the glories of the franchise. But yeah. Still, I think you hit it on the head when you talk about the worker, the guy that in the players' parking lot, the guy that's been yeah. selling in the concession for years and years, the guys you see in the tunnel on your way to the locker room that have been working there for a lot of years. It is. It's you know, like I said, I'm not overly sentimental, but that particular day, for whatever reason, yeah. I was sitting in front of that TV watching the post game, and it was a little bit of a sad day yeah. for me as well. Yeah. All right. What do you got going? What do you got going this off season? Except, well, when you guys aren't going to weddings, I figure you yeah. got about 10 or 12 weddings to go to. But in between, what do you got? Normal off yeah. season for you? What are you working on?
Obviously, I've been in the gym the past month when I haven't really been traveling, but I'm making sure I've been getting in there. You know, the usual stuff, right? Bigger, faster, stronger throughout the off season. At least lifting wise, that's the purpose. Hitting wise, I think I have a really good blueprint of what I thought I'd done, you know, from after the first month of the season on. And I have a good blueprint of what I need to do. I like some of the cues that I've been working on. And I think that's just going to lead to more and more success. So I'm starting up the hitting, you know, here soon. And then fielding wise, you know, I thought I felt like I had a in the big leagues a little down year fielding wise. But you know, I went down in AAA and I just dominated that. So, you know, I know who I am as a defender. I'm an A plus defender. And I just got to keep that rolling, keep that going. And, you know, the bat's just going to be there because, you know, I'm a good hitter as well. So, it's all going to play, and now just got to let that happen, let that go out and happen. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a really great off season for sure.
Very cool. Very cool. For all you watching the Boone podcast on now, we have our own YouTube channel. Check it out. For those of you listening to the Boone podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you download this podcast. Until next time, keep it here. Nick, I love you.
Thank you. Love you.
Kick butt this offseason. I'm sure I'll see you in between your weddings, you and Savannah. Well, and by the way, Savannah hasn't called me in a while. Tell her to call.
I will.
Tell her to call Dad. Daddy missed it. All right, kiddo. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.